Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivin Maya Namna Apaya Fear Agra Jaha Elder Brata Brother Prajvaraha Name Prajvara Pratyupasthitaha Being present there. Dadaha. Set fire. Tam. To that. Purim. City. Kritsnam. Hosel. Bratahu. His brother. Priya Chakir Sheha. In order to please. So translation, under the circumstances, the elder brother of Yavana Raj, known as Prajvara, set fire to the city to please his younger brother, whose other name is fear itself. So you can repeat, under the circumstances, the elder brother of Yavana Raj, known as Prajvara, set fire to the city to please his younger brother. Whose other name is fear itself. So purport by divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, done. According to the Vedic system, a dead body is set on fire, but before death, there is another fire or fever, which is called Prajvara or Vishnu Dwara. Medical science verifies that when one's temperature is raised to 107 degrees, a man immediately dies. This prajvara, or high fever, at the last stage of life, places the living entity in the midst of a blazing fire. So the next few verses are also dealing with the experiences one has at the time of leaving the body. So we're going to read a few verses here. Text 12. Atasham sandayamanayam sapura saparichadaha Kutumbika Kutumbinya Upatapyatasanvayaha. When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants of the king, as well as all family members, sons, grandsons, wives, and other relatives, were within the fire. King Puranjana thus became very unhappy. And Śrīla Prabhupāda explains there are many parts of the body, the senses, the limbs, the skin, the muscles, blood, marrow, etc. And all these are considered here figuratively as sons, grandsons, citizens, and dependents. When the body is attacked by the Vishnu Dwara, the fiery condition becomes so acute that sometimes one remains in a coma. This means that the body is in such a severe pain that one becomes unconscious and cannot feel the miseries taking place within the body. Indeed, the living entity becomes so helpless at the time of death that, although unwilling, he is forced to give up the body and enter another. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that man may, by scientific advancement, improve the temporary living conditions, but that he cannot avoid the pangs of birth, old age, disease, and death. These are under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. A foolish person cannot understand this simple fact. Now, people are very busy trying to find petroleum in the midst of the ocean. They are very anxious to make provisions for the future petroleum supply. But they do not make any attempts to ameliorate the conditions of birth, old age, disease, and death. Thus, a person in ignorance, not knowing anything about his own future life, is certainly defeated in all his activities. So we'll continue reading. Text 13. Yavano parudai yatano grastayam kalakanyaya puriyam prajvara samshishta purapalon vatapyata. The city's superintendent of police, the serpent, saw that the citizens were being attacked by Kalakanya, and he became very aggrieved to see his own residence set ablaze after being attacked by the Yavanas. So Srila Prabhupada explains that a living entity is covered by two different types of bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. At death, we can see that the gross body is finished. But actually, the living entity is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The so-called scientists of the modern age cannot see how the subtle body is working and carrying the soul from one body to another. This subtle body has been figuratively described as a serpent or the city's police superintendent. When there is fire everywhere, the police superintendent cannot escape either. When there is security and an absence of fire in the city, the police superintendent can impose his authority upon the citizens. But when there is an all-out attack on the city, he is rendered useless. As the life air was ready to leave the gross body, the subtle body also began to experience pain. And finally, text 14. Anasheke so vitum tatra puru kritshoru vepataku gantum aichatato vriksha kutarhariva sanalat. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to leave when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. So Srila Prabhupada explains that it becomes very difficult for snakes to leave a forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpents, only being able to crawl, are generally burnt in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the life air. Okay, and we'll read one more text and then comment. Shittilavayavo yarhi gandharvaritaparishaha yavanayararabhi rajan uparudo rudaha rurodaha. The limbs of the serpent's body were slackened by the Gandharvas and Yavana soldiers who had thoroughly defeated his bodily strength. When he attempted to leave the body, he was checked by his enemies. Being thus baffled in his attempt, he began to cry loudly. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the last stage of life, the different gates of the body are choked by the effects of disease, which are caused by an imbalance of bile, mucus, and air. Thus, the living entity cannot clearly express his difficulties, and surrounding relatives hear the sound, Guru, Guru, from a dying man. In his Mukunda Mala Stotra, King Kulakshetra states, Krishna Twariya Para Pankaja Pang Jurantam Advaivame Vishatu Manasa Raja Hamsa Pranna Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pitai Hanta Varodana Vidaos Marandam Kutaste. My dear Krishna, please help me die immediately so that the swan of my mind may be encircled by the stems of your lotus feet. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up, how will it be possible for me to think of you? The swan takes great pleasure in diving within water and being encircled by the stem of the lotus flower. This entanglement is sporting joy. If in our healthy condition we think of the lotus feet of the Lord and die, it is most fortunate. In old age, at the time of death, the throat sometimes becomes choked with mucus or blocked by air. At such a time, the sound vibration of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra may not come out. Thus, one may forget Krishna. Of course, those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage because they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, especially when there is a signal from death. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gadanjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, in these verses and Srila Prabhupada's purport, we are hearing about the difficulty one endures when leaving the body. And, of course, we are informed in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that a verse that all of you know, I hope, yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam yashati ante kalevaram tam tam kontiya sadatad bhava bhavata. I think everybody knows that verse. That in yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam, at the moment of death, whatever one is remembering, yashati ante kalevaram, ante kalevaram means the end of the body. In that way, tam tam evaiti kunti, O son of Kunti, in that same way, sadatad bhavata, that consciousness or that bhava, that understanding mood, will carry him to his next body. In other words, that will determine where and how he takes birth in the next life. So it's very important to be able to focus on Krishna at the time of death. Of course, if you, whatever you think of, that's what you'll become. Not only if you're thinking of Krishna, of course, you become a devotee of Krishna. And the example is given sometimes when you're thinking of a cat or a dog, then you become a cat or a dog. And then we have the story of Maharaj Bhart, who was thinking of a deer. In spite of being very spiritually advanced, he was thinking of a deer at the time of death, and therefore he became a deer. So one has to really be conscious of what one is thinking of at the time of death. So how do you control that? The question is, how do you control it when basically things are uncontrollable at the time of death? You cannot focus your mind. And even we experience, has anyone here ever had a fever? You know, a normal fever, not 107. 107, you die. Of course, in Europe, it's, I don't know, what is it? The centigrade is, what is that, 42 or something like that, equivalent to 107. So, I don't think we've experienced that in this life, or else we'd be dead. However, when we have a fever, even like 102, 103, which is pretty high, it's very hard to focus the mind, isn't it? I know when I've had a fever, you know, lying in bed, I'm trying to read a book or something like that. It's really hard to read. I mean, just like, I can't read for more than a few minutes at a time because the mind is just, it just won't focus. And then I lay down to rest a little bit, and the mind's all over the place. I can't make it go in one direction. And even when we're tired, it's like that, isn't it? The mind just goes all over the place. And what are you going to do? Of course, one thing, it's easy to watch a video when you're sick. Somehow or other, it's easy to focus your mind on a movie. Hopefully it's a Krishna conscious movie. If not, a Bollywood movie. But anyway, so the point is that what to speak of the time of death, if we're even bewildered by some little bodily inconvenience, like a pain, we hurt ourselves, or someone insults us immediately. I mean, it's very hard. I mean, sometimes if someone insults us and we're just thinking, you know, this isn't fair, and it just goes through the mind over and over, and we forget about Krishna. So how do you do this at the time of death? Well, it's a question of practicing throughout one's life. Not simply just pulling a switch or flicking a switch at the time of death, but practicing to remember Krishna in each and every circumstance. And of course, as Prabhupada mentions here, the best way is the chanting of the Lord's holy names. In other words, we should be chanting 24 hours a day, not just the 16 rounds. Like Prabhupada gave the example one time, he was chanting his rounds, and he moved his counter bead down, the last counter bead, to 16. He said, now I've finished my rounds, I can do anything. But the chanting should always continue 24 hours a day, especially in one's mind. So even if one's unable to chant externally with the tongue and the mouth, the mind is chanting. And at night, when you go to sleep, you can chant yourself to sleep instead of counting sheep. Counting sheep means you take birth as a sheep in your next life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you die in the middle of the night and ba-ba. You wake up in the next life. None of us count money at night. You know, they put this so much, $100, $200, $300. Of course, that doesn't put you to sleep. It just makes you excited. But it's better just to chant yourself, so, you know, very quiet. Of course, not out loud. You just chant yourself when you go to sleep. And then at night, you're chanting in your dreams. And when you wake up, you're chanting. When you go to the shower, when you brush your teeth, when you do anything in preparation for the morning program, you should be chanting in your mind. This is Prabhupada's example. When I was with Prabhupada, watching Prabhupada do a TV interview, Prabhupada would be chanting his japa when the other person was talking. Of course, not so loud that it was an offense, you know, the person took an offense to it, but just very softly, you could see his lips moving. He was chanting, like Prabhupada would chant, 24 hours, literally 24 hours a day. And so when you get in that habit, then automatically the chanting is there at the time, or your remembrance of Krishna is there at the time of death. Now, Prabhupada mentioned too, especially when there's some danger or signal from death. You know, that's a real test, like when you're driving in the car, someone else is driving in the car, and, you know, some dangerous situation arises. It's a test to see if you're actually Krishna conscious. If you go, or you go, Krishna. Just like when I was a young brahmachari, I was generally traveling with a particular sannyasi, which he was nameless. And he was one of the worst drivers I've ever seen in my life. Hopefully that doesn't get back to him. So I was just chanting all the time, and he was saying, I'm doing this, I'm driving in this way to teach you how to take shelter of Krishna. This is my spiritual instruction to you. He says, not that I'm driving bad, I'm doing this deliberately. No, he wasn't doing it deliberately, anyway. But really, that's the training in this lifetime, that to be able to chant in each and every circumstance, remember Krishna. And, as we mentioned last night and the last few days, to develop an internal life. You know, because when everything externally is going bad, you have to have something internally that's happening. Because if we're so dependent on the external things, little things disturb us. Like a young person, like a young girl, she gets a pimple in her face. It's so disturbing. That's all she thinks about, you know, for 24 hours and all day long. She can't even concentrate on her schoolwork. So, you know, if we're absorbed in the external, even little things will deviate our consciousness from Krishna. So the whole point is to be absorbed in the internal, and as we mentioned last night and other times, that means different things at different stages of devotional service. In the beginning, it can be pleasure, working for the pleasure of the spiritual master. And then after some time, it can be appreciation of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, remembering Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan or Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And then after some time, when one really advances, one can be doing internal service. It's called manaseva. Of course, the advanced devotees, when they do this manaseva, they sometimes even bring things back from the spiritual realm. There are stories with Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya was one time engaged in looking for a toe ring that was lost by Srimati Radharani in his meditation. And he was in meditation for several days, basically, and his wife was upset, thinking, you know, he's left his body. Of course, he was still breathing, but very barely he was breathing. So his wife was upset, thinking he had left his body. And finally, they called for his associate, Ramchandra Kaviraj, to sit down next to him. And so Ramchandra Kaviraj went into meditation, and he was able to enter into the same pastime that his spiritual master was entering into. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That you know you're a good disciple when you can do that. I don't know any of my disciples who can do that. You know, I don't think I'd want to dream about them at night. So anyway, at least not in their gross bodies. So he would enter into this pastime, and then they found Radharani's toe ring, and they both came out, and they even had some remnants or smell of the spiritual world when they came out of their meditation, and they both remembered and embraced each other. So it's a real meditation. It's not simply imagination or visualization, as they say. You know, we can imagine things or visualize things. Like, I can imagine that I'm in Hawaii, you know, surfing or something like that. And in one sense, you say you are where the mind is, but you're not fully there. But when one is meditating on the, and he's on the proper platform, the advanced platform, at least bhava, Nishta, and then Ashakti, Baba. So when he's on an advanced platform in devotional service, then his meditation is actually real. It really is taking place. It's like sometimes people ask the question about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You know, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the story about Gopakumar and everything like that. So they say, is this simply an imaginary story? People ask that question. Well, the point is that Sanatana Goswami is a pure devotee on that particular level of devotional service. So when he's writing about something, he's visualizing, and it is actually happening. It's not just happening in someone's brain, but it's happening on the spiritual platform. Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. The pastimes of Krishna's devotees are unlimited. So when a devotee writes about these things, or the other books of the Goswamis, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, you know, the different dramas and plays, it actually happens. It is happening. Not only it happened, it is happening. It's an eternal pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not something that the pure devotee just imagined to teach you about the Siddhanta of devotional service. Sometimes people say that the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was just something Sanatana Goswami came up with, you know, in imagination. So the teachers about the conclusions of devotional service, that has actually happened. When the pure devotee visualizes something, Krishna appears, the pastime is taking place in the spiritual realm, not just in the brain and not just in the mind. So that is something that we all have to look forward to. As Prabhupada said, many times the devotee has a spiritual television. So it's not just like ordinary television. You know, it's like 3D. You know, like nowadays they're talking about having three-dimensional television. You ever heard of that? You can buy like anything 3D, you put on the glasses. You seen it? You seen them? No. Some of the devotees have them, I think. Anyway, I won't mention the name. I know some of the devotees have the 3D TVs. So you put on these glasses. And it's like that movie, Avatar, some of you may have seen. You put on these glasses in 3D, but actually when you enter into Krishna's pastimes, it's not just like some shadow thing, or, you know, put your glasses on in 3D and it appears like it's three-dimensional, like, you know, like seeing things rush out at you from the screen. But it's real. It's much more real. This is a world of shadow that we're in right now. This is an unreal world. Because we're not really seeing things. I'm not really seeing you. All I'm doing is just experiencing what's happening in the body. Therefore, the person is known as Kshetragya, the knower of the body. It's all we know. We know about the interactions in the body. And indirectly, yes, we know about what's happening externally, but we don't have any direct experience. It's like I'm thinking I'm directly experiencing seeing Mahamantra. It's not. I'm experiencing the interactions in the body, you know, the optic nerve. Because if something goes wrong with the body, I lose my ability to experience, to have even an indirect experience of what's happening in this room. You understand? So you lose my ability. So it's the body I'm experiencing. The bodily's interactions with the external world. So therefore the living entity is the Kshetragya. He's only the knower of the body. And he doesn't even know that very well. But the experience that a pure devotee has of Krishna is a direct experience. Pratyaksha, it is actually direct, not like our experience of this mundane world, and it's not like some dream or film or two-dimensional thing. It is, you're directly in that pastime, and the pastime is much more real than this world. So when one is on that platform, then whatever is happening externally, such as him leaving the body, is really not so consequential. It's not so so important to the person. It's just like something that's happening, you know. He's seeing that like a movie. You understand? Like it says in the Gita, what is nighttime for the self-realized sage is the daytime for the ordinary people, and vice versa. So the sage sees this like a dream world. You know, it's like, I'd like, for example, if I go into a virtual world on the computer, there's one virtual world called Second Life. You've heard about that before. Maybe you haven't. And then I interact with people. I don't see it as real. I mean, some people see it as real. But I don't see it as real, even though there's money there, there's people there. I met Gopal there. He looked different. But tall, dark, and handsome. So, is that you, Gopal? Yes, Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. Anyway, and you have bodies that can jump real high there, too. It was pretty nice. They're called avatars. So, I mean, obviously, I understand it's unreal. So, I mean, I'm not in that much illusion that I think the virtual world on the computer is real. But I'm thinking this virtual world is real, but it's actually a dream. It's just a dream. What does that say? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Life's but a dream. So when we actually are absorbed in the real world of Krishna's pastimes, and we're entering into the real world of Krishna's pastimes, then this leaving the body is not so substantial or consequential. And obviously one's able to remember Krishna. It's not a problem because one is with Krishna. I mean, when you're seeing Krishna, dancing with Krishna, playing with Krishna, it's easy to remember Krishna. So that's the stage that we're trying to get to before we leave this body. Otherwise, if we're on a lesser stage of devotional service, it's going to be very difficult to remember Krishna at the time of death because of all these different functions of the body. Like I said, you know, I even have trouble remembering Krishna when I have a fever. You know, what to speak of the time of death. You know, I'm going to need a lot of help. So therefore, because most devotees aren't on that platform, we should be with the devotees when they're leaving their bodies to help them remember Krishna. They need that help to remember Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. And then, of course, another point is that Krishna will help us at that point. It's not that Krishna is going to neglect us. Krishna is just going to let us think of some nonsense. If we've been serving Krishna throughout our whole lives, Krishna will put himself into our minds to help us undergo this transference from one body to another. So any questions or comments about these things? We've got about 5 minutes left. What?
Yeah, that's a very wonderful fact. I was thinking about the world already, but I can't imagine. And I've got a stream of consciousness and yeah. How that's left in the period too. They don't have to railroad, they're going downstream.
Spiritual world, but in the beginning,
from where it's flowing.
Yeah, but for the devotees, sometimes it's hard because they're rowing upstream, going against the material flow. If you stop rowing, it's a good metaphor. If you stop rowing, you just like go with the flow with everybody else. So you really, it's a struggle in the beginning. Krishna conscious happiness and Krishna conscious life is, like described in the Bhagavad Gita, is like poison in the beginning but nectar at the end. You really have to push and struggle in Krishna consciousness. So yeah, but what's up ahead is our internal life, a real life being with Krishna and just seeing this as a virtual reality. Right now, we're the opposite. We're seeing Krishna consciousness as some virtual reality, and this is real. You know, I'm thinking, when will I eat? You know, when the morning program's over, I'm going to eat. Of course, I'll do my puja first, but... And for the deities, then I'm going to eat. That's my real life. Then I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to play my computer. Not play, but do. I said, on the computer, that's real life. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll get a chance to read some of Krishna's pastimes today or hear this thing. That's sort of like secondary, isn't it? I mean, we're considering real life to be this external thing. And it's the opposite of what real Krishna consciousness is. You know, the real life is the hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna and being absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Serving Krishna in the spiritual realm, manasa seva. And you can do this manasa seva even if you're not on a perfect or advanced platform. You can, in your mind, you can make sweet rice for the deities like that brahmana was doing. That doesn't mean one doesn't have to be super advanced to do that. You can meditate on making sweet rice and meditate on, if you don't have a, of course, if you have a kitchen, you should actually make the sweet rice. You know, it's not the devotees in the room, the brahmacharya. Time for the offering. That's all right. I'm making the offering right now. You know, my mantra says, it's all right. I bought the boga in my mind. Gurudev said, in this way, we're going to save money if I do the mental boga shopping. That would be good. I would like that. Mental marathon. <too. laughs> Yeah, I'm at Sam's Club right now. So, no, I mean, obviously, if one could do things externally, you should do it. But basically, let's say, well, we're sitting down. Of course, while you're driving the car, concentrate on driving the car. Don't be off making offerings for the deities. What happened? I was cooking an offering for the deities. No, you meditate. Anyway, you meditate on your service while you're doing it, obviously. But you know, there's other times, like if you're chanting japa, you can actually be meditating on for the holy Dham and Vrindavan, or the deities, the form of the deities. You know, there's things that you can fix your mind on, and you can do it. You can do internal service. There's no problem with that. I mean, obviously, at this stage, don't picture yourself as one of the gopis running around kissing Krishna and getting envious of the flute, like we were talking about last night. You know, it's not that you should come out and say, "Ah, I hate this flute." You're addressing the deities. "I hate this flute. This flute gets Krishna's lips and I don't." I mean, we were talking about that last night. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the gopis were feeling envious of the flute. And then Lord Chaitanya, actually, we said last night, remember what I said last night? That Lord Chaitanya said that we can get the nectar of Krishna's lips by eating prasadam. Because the prasadam has the nectar. So the same taste that the flute has, the same taste the gopis have, we can get by eating prasadam. It's nice, isn't it? So anyway, so the point is, we can do this, you know, at our level of devotional service, manaseva. We can plan out our service, we can think of doing something, cooking for the deities, we can dream of dressing the deities. I mean, I know when I'm traveling in an airplane, and then, of course, Giri Raj is with me, but he's in the baggage, not the lower baggage compartment, the upper baggage compartment. I can't take him out. You know, people ask, "Do you take Giri Raj out in the middle of the plane and bathe him?" Can you imagine what a scene it would be? That everybody in the plane is watching me take these two stones out. Chintamani Prakarasatman. You know, obviously, you know, it's a no-brainer. You don't do that in the middle of the plane. You know, probably the security guards would arrest me and take me to a mental institution or something like that. It's bad enough I have to go through security and they take out Giri Raj and say, "What's this?" And they see two stones with faces on them. And they ask me, "How old are you, sir?" You know, that's bad enough that I have to go through that. Because I'm thinking they're getting the mercy of Giri Raj by handling them. I said, "Sacred stones." And so, could you imagine if I did that in the middle of the airplane? It'd be a disaster. So what I do sometimes is I do the manaseva of Giri Raj. I even offer food to him. You know, I carry bags of food with little tulsi leaves in them. And I in my mind, I'm bathing Giri Raj and putting his tilak on in the face and the mouth and everything like that. So that's manaseva. You don't have to be very advanced to do that. And that helps you remain focused in this life. You can always do manaseva. I don't say riding a bike. Maybe that's dangerous. But actually, when I'm riding my bike, I listen to Lord Chaitanya's past. And I put my little earphone in. And I listen to the Chaitanya Charitamrita or some other spiritual thing. So every moment should be filled with Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's going to be filled with some nonsense. Right? I mean, we have the opportunity, as I mentioned many times before, to have these electronic devices where we can hear Krishna's pastimes 24 hours a day. So we should take advantage of that. You know, when you're riding a bike, if you're riding your car, you shouldn't be just like, you know, driving and just like, whatever. You should be listening to something spiritual. And that'll help you remember Krishna, especially at the time of death. So there's manaseva and all sorts of things you can do. So any questions, other questions or comments? Or problems? No? We'll have to end early. Well, it's not ending early. It's time to greet the people. Okay. On that note, all glories to the divine grace, to the Prabhupada, Ki Jai.